The Jewish calendar, Pali Machshava speak about, is like a circle. And we're B'siyata D'Shmaya right around the top. We're about to reach the culmination, the end of the year. And the end of the year, that culmination, I've always been intrigued, ends with the months of Shvat and Adar. So tonight, B'siyata D'Shmaya, I'd like to try to understand what that represents. In order to get to that understanding and our avoda about what Shvat and Adar is about, somebody pointed out something very interesting to me about the language of the psukim in regards to the makos. The Amshin of Rebbe pointed out that these parshios are very much connected to the months of Shvat and Adar, and there is a deep connection between the two. One of the Talmidim pointed out that generally Paro asks Moshe Rabbeinu to daven in the language of Atira, like we have in regards to the tefillah of Yitzchak, Vayetar Yitzchak l'noichach ishtoi. Here, Paro asks Moshe to daven with that lashon as well, to remove all the makos, and every single one of them he uses that lashon of Atira, except by Tzvardeya. By Tzvardeya, Paro asks, but Moshe doesn't daven that way. In Perek Ches, Pasuk Ches, Vayetze Moshe v'arami im Paroi, Vayitzak Moshe. Moshe Rabbeinu cries out the lashon Tzaaka. And the Talmud pointed out that there's something also unique about Tzvardeya that you don't have in the other makos. And that is that in this makah, it's the one makah in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu brings something, and the makah doesn't disappear after Moshe Rabbeinu davens. The effects still remain. The Tzvardeya stay there, all dead. All the other makos, the effect of the makah is entirely gone. Arov, Arbe, they're all gone. So the fellow asked, what is it about Tza'aka that the makah is not removed entirely, and all the other makos are removed with Atira? So I was thinking the following yesod. And I think this yesod will begin to open up to us something that's really, really important, derech avoda. Yitzchak's tefillah, Vayetar Yitzchak l'noichach ishtoi, ki akorahi, Yitzchak davens for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to turn something upside down. Something entirely upside down. By the way, that's also the Farish HaMakabit song. The Makabit song about lift your glass for Purim is they turned everything upside down. Keep that in mind. So Yitzchak davens to turn everything upside down. Akeres becomes an Ema Banim Smecha. And my sons added to me for me that that's a Beferish Gemara in Yevamos and Daf Samach Dalid Amid Aleph. The Gemara says Lama Nimshla Tfilasan Shel Sadikin Ka'atar. Why is it referred to like a hoe or a shovel? Ma'atar zemahape chatfua mimakon lemakon kach tfilasan shel tzadikin ma'feches the lashon v'nafoichu turns over midosav shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu, turns the whole thing upside down. I thought maybe tza'aka is a different tefillah. Tza'aka is to scream out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu to stop, and everything freezes. But Atira, the tefillah of Atira, is one in which the mitzius becomes entirely opposite. Now the Rishonim are very much bothered that in last week's parsha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Matitzak alai. According to the Ibn Ezra, Matitzak alai means, why is Klal Yisrael screaming? Why are they davening? And the Rabban asks, you're faulting Klal Yisrael for davening? What's pshat? How can you fault Klal Yisrael for davening? What type of criticism of that is Dabrel b'nei Yisrael v'yiso, matitzak elai. So the Ramban suggests, in the Ibn Ezra's position, that the Omek HaDavar is that Sa'aka was not appropriate because HaKadosh Baruch Hu had already promised that everything was going to be turned, in my words, upside down. There was going to be a Kiddush Hashem. Sa'aka was just asking that the Mitzrim should go away. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, Matitzakalai, I already promised, V'ikavda b'faro, the Ramban explains, that's going to be turned upside down. And how is it turned upside down? Uvnei Yisrael holchu bayabosha b'soich hayam. The power of a Jew is that he's able to turn a reality and live in an entirely different metzius. Even though it doesn't say that the land became dry. It was still yam, but Bnei Yisrael were bayabosha. When they were in the yam, they were bayabosha. You know, they say that the Panovitcher Rav lost his entire family. He once was visiting Rome, and he came into Rome. When he arrived in Rome, he asked his driver to take him to the Arch of Titus. And he went to the Arch of Titus, which has a depiction of the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And he began to scream in Yiddish. It was a pouring night. He began to scream in Yiddish, Herzich tzu, Titus HaRasha, listen, Titus HaRasha. You tried to exile us, and the Germans killed my wife and my children, but I'm going to rebuild Torah. Klal Yisrael has the ability to b'nevi b'nei Yisrael hochul b'ayabosha v'sochayam, to live l'mala me'ateva. The Panovitcher Rav was very, very creative. There was once a secular person who told him, I don't like how the yeshiva bachrim dress. He said, I'm not into the fellows having beards. So the Panovitcher Rav said, fine. I guarantee that I'll build a school, then the students will never, ever have a beard. So the guy gave him a few $1,000,000, and he built the Beis Yaakov. This koach, to be able to be uvnei Yisrael hochu bayabosha b'sochayam, this particular koach, is the koach, the Amshinova Rebbe Shlita, that was revealed by Rav Moshe Shapiro. Indebted to Rav Miller for sharing with me this piece from Rav Moshe Shapiro. Rav Moshe Shapiro said that this Yisod of the Amshinov Rebbe, he loves to say over. Amshinov Rebbe Zatzal. That the Rebbe pointed out something fascinating. We're going to do a little bit of Chassidus tonight. Some beautiful, not too deep, beautiful Chassidus that will take us to beautiful places of Avoda. That the Amshinov Rebbe pointed out, when did the last Makkah take place? This you all know, you don't need Chassidus. When did the last Makkah take place? Makkas Bechoros, night of Pesach. He says if you do a calculation, every Makkah took a couple weeks to prepare, a couple weeks afterwards, which means every Makkah was essentially a month's time. So when did the Makkah of Choshech take place? The Makkah of Choshech took place in Adar. When did the Makkah of Arbe take place? It took place in Shvat. What does it say in regards to Arbe? The Pasuk says, V'ochal es kol ha'etz ha'tzoymeach min asada. Arbe destroyed the trees. Shvat is about the peros. The Zohar describes that every makkah that Mitzrayim got, l'dore doros, was the time that we're supposed to be metaking that particular phenomenon. What happened in Adar? Choshech. What's the tikkun for Klal Yisrael in Adar? La Yehudim hoisa oira v'simcha v'sasa mikar. Adar is the bechina of Or. Let's first talk about Shvat. Let's talk about Shvat and understand what Shvat is about. The Chida describes that the 12 months correspond to the 12 Shvatim. Starting with the Degel Machne Yehuda, based on the way Klal Yisrael is encamped. So Shvat corresponds to what Shevet? Corresponds to Shevet Osher. What does the Torah tell us about Osher? Me Osher Shmeino Lachmoy, V'hu Yitain Madane Melech. The Avoida of Shvat, Rav Moshe Shapiro says, if you put together what the Amshinov Rebbe said, the Avoida of Shvat is the Avoida of the Tikkun of Klal Yisrael, that the Goyim don't know how to eat, and we know how to eat. By the way, it's a Beferish of Jackie Mason, not Maven Yavin. The goyim don't know how to eat, and we know how to eat. What does that mean? Once upon a time, Klal Yisrael ate differently than Gentiles ate. Rebosa, here starts the Musar and here starts the Avoda. You know, last year, the guys, I'm doing tshuva. Last year, I screamed about this after Pesach. The guys came back and they described to me what goes on in hotels over Pesach. You know, the word foodie, a Jew to be a foodie, what, hayitache? The guys tell me that just in the hotels, it's just eating after eating after eating. But I realized, I complained about it afterwards, after they told me, after they come back. Shvat is the time for us to eat, to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food, but to do it properly. There's a difference between appreciating HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food and worshiping His food. Shvat, the avoda, is an achila ru'uya. The avoda is to eat properly. Rabbi Victor Miller described, Rabbi Victor Miller Zatzal described, that if a Jew would just spend a little bit of time thinking about how an apple and an orange grows, spend a little bit of time thinking about what happens from a seed, that becomes part of Avodas Hashem. When a person eats a fruit, that becomes part of Avodas Hashem. And the bracha beforehand is an opportunity for a person to be mindful, for a person to be mindful of HaKadosh Baruch Hu's beautiful world. My wife is a dietitian. She says the biggest challenge with eating today is people are not mindful when they eat. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu built into the system for us to be mindful once or twice a day. It's very hard, I know. I can't do it every time we eat and every time we make a bracha to really have kavana. But once, two, three times a day to pause and to really, really think when we eat. So we're allowed to enjoy HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food, but not worship HaKadosh Baruch Hu's food. B'derech Musar, I'll be sharp. Rabosai, isn't it pathetic? You have people who are dreaming about the fancy restaurant that they're going to go to, and they spend so much time thinking about, dreaming about it, talking about it, partaking in it. And what does it look like? Pardon me, in a Beis Midrash, I speak like this, but it's important. What does it look like 5 hours later? This is a life? This is what people live for? This is what Jews live for? And that's why Mahadrin is a good thing. You know why Mahadrin is a good thing? Not because necessarily all the chumras, but the idea that we don't have to eat everything. That's what the Mesillas Yesharim describes. Chumros in achila is a way in which a person has gedarim for what he eats and what he doesn't. But how many of us who are in the chat, is this kosher, is this mahadrin, how many of us really, really think about that? Or how many of us it's really about whether we look from enough? Mahadrin is a way in which a person begins to hold back and not indulging in everything, even if it's kosher. So the hotels, the restaurants, we could live by a basha besoch hayam. We have the opportunity to be besoch hayam. We don't have to be critical. We could say that we're going to eat differently. We're going to experience differently. When I was sitting Shiva, someone told me a fascinating story about brachos, which really, really captures, I think, this idea. Rabbi Reuven Mendelitz told me that he once went to Rav Nissim Karel Zatzal, and he asked him, what bracha do you make on sushi? He went with a big Rav from America. And the Rav from America described to Rav Nissim Karel, he hasn't gotten a good answer, and he needs an answer because his balabatim want to know what bracha to make on sushi. And they keep on asking him. So Rav Nissim Karel went back and forth and went back and forth. They realized it was hard to describe to him. There was no way to describe to the 90-year-old Rav in Bnei Brak what sushi is. So they decided, they sort of left off with a tzarachin. On the way out, they decided, you know what, the Rebbetzin, you know, cooks a little and so on, his Rebbetzin was still alive. They decide they're going to ask the Rebbetzin. So the Rebbetzin begins to ask them. And she says, well, from what I know from my husband would say it's a suffix and I think you should wash. So the Rav says, but Rebbetzin, these people are Mahadrin. And they want to know the appropriate bracha. They want to be Mahadrin. So Rebbetzin says, I don't understand. If the people want to be Mahadrin, the halacha is that you're supposed to wash. That's what the halacha says. But what happened? Brachos themselves, which were supposed to create mindfulness, what's become is everything now has become about convenience. And so now what we have is we have these glossy magazines with pages and pages. No pages of women. That's usur. It is usur. No pages of women, or women dressed inappropriately. That's usur. But pages and pages of these glossy pictures of food that have all the standards of kashrus? Rabosai, something's become distorted. And what's distorted is the avodah of shvat. What's distorted is a form of achila where a person is more mindful and they themselves, through their achila, think about HaKadosh Baruch Hu, come closer to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And so I'm doing tshuva from last year. I don't want to complain about it after Pesach. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu made it at the end of the year before Pesach, before we go to hotels with our family. Don't complain about it. If your family is going, so you're going. Abat, uvenei Yisrael, holchu b'ayabosha b'soychayam. It's mamishayam. But you could be b'ayabosha. That's the koach that we're working on in Chodesh Shvat. Oh, what comes next, according to the Yisod of the Amshin of Rebbe? What is the last month? The moment in which a person begins to work on the Achila, then something even more dramatic happens. The month of Adar is the month of Vinafochu. The month of Adar is not only where we work on one thing that our Achila should be more elevated. The month of Adar is we turn Choshech into Or. What happens on Purim? Purim is all backwards. Where do Jews, again, it's a Beferish Jackie Mason, where do Jews drink? Goyim drink. Jews eat, right? Where do Jews drink? The Gemara tells us, Nichnas Yayin Yotza Soid, that when we drink, the secrets come out. Rabbi Kiva Tat says so beautifully. Nichnas Yayin Yotza Sod, the secret of Klal Yisrael is that we could find Kedusha in the Choshech. We could turn Choshech into Or. We're surrounded by a billion Muslims. They're very religious in many ways. But there's one thing that for them is also that can never be sanctified. And that is wine. Wine, the world looks at as a vice. Wine, drinking, alcohol, beer, all of that is a vice. Yet we make Kiddush on it, we make Havdalah on it. We don't have Kiddush clubs. We make Kiddush on it, and we do Havdalah on it. And on Purim, we drink. We'll talk in Yirtzeh Hashem closer to Purim, the right way to drink. But on Purim, we drink. Nichnas Yayin Yotzeh Sod, after a whole year of avoda, after shvat, of a normal achila, an achila that we eat fruit properly, achila that we eat sushi properly, then we're ready even to take that which is a vice in the world and to elevate it. Purim is about absolutely no kedushas hayom, there's no inherent sanctity of the day. We create the sanctity through the achila and the shtia. Torah could take that which is choshech to the rest of the world and entirely transform it. There's another world religion that also wasn't able to transform something into service of God. The priests of Christianity, they have to be celibate. The sod of Klal Yisrael is that what the world thinks is only choshech, we're able to be mekadesh. Amelus b'Torah allows a person, there's a reason why I'm choosing Amelus b'Torah, I'll explain shortly. Amelus b'Torah teaches a person to use their passions in a way, all of their passions, in a way that's elevated to serve HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course, Purim therefore is such a challenge. The Tikkun HaZohar describes that Purim is more sanctified than Yom HaKippurim. But most people don't sanctify it because this avoda, to take that which people perceive as choshech and to turn into ar, that's not pashut, that's not easy. But now we have understanding of the months, the way in which the months work. Shvat is the time in which a person begins that process of elevating achila. Adar is a time, and that's the process that we saw of Uvnei Yisrael Hochu Bayabasha B'Soch Hayom. And Adar is a time where mamish, everything, once one begins that, everything could become of an afochu. And Amelus B'Torah is a key to that. La Yehuda Moisa Oira Oira Zutaira, Amelus B'Torah becomes the most important piece. The Rambam writes something very, very, very striking in the end of Hilchos Yisurei Bia. The Rambam describes that the only way that one could truly transform one's passions is through Amelus B'Torah. She'ein machsheves arayos miskaberes ela b'leiv panui min hachachma. The Yetzahara for arayos thrives when there's an absence, when there's an abyss of chachma. And with chachma, then passion could be used in a healthy way. There's a fascinating Zohar. The Zohar in Parshas Toldos says, "Il mole yetzer hara, chedvasa deshmaitza lo lahave." That if we didn't have a passion for arayos, then we wouldn't have a passion for amelus b'Torah. So the aura of Torah, the passion of Torah, the amelus b'Torah, that is what transforms a person, that they're able to use both the yayin and all of their passions in service of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the koach of Klal Yisrael, v'nei Yisrael hochu b'yabasha b'sochayam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the siyata d'shmaya, that in this month we should begin to start thinking about our achila, again, to make every bracha b'kavana, at every moment to think like a Rav Avigdor Miller about food, that's something that's difficult. But a couple brachos a day, we could do that. And as we go in towards Adar, we're ready to transform everything. The world religions weren't able to take that choshech and transform it. And that was Makas Choshech in Mitzrayim. And in Mitzrayim, the month of Adar was the time of choshech. But for Klal Yisrael, the month of Adar is La Yehuda Moisa Oira V'Simcha V'Sasan V'Kar. For us to take Torah and to use it to elevate all parts of our existence. And that is the highest madrigan. Down the line, we'll discuss. The Ramban says, Kol HaMekudesh Mechaver HaMechur V'Yosim Menu. Most people don't do Purim right. Now is the time, as we going from Shvat into Adar, we could start preparing ourselves to be able to do Purim correctly. The second step after the Achila is what so many of the Talmidim have been doing, and that is learning Bahasmada. And B'siyata D'shmaya, if you continue to learn Bahasmada, then Emir Tzashem, you're going to become fantastic husbands and fantastic fathers if one always continues to grow in Derech Eretz and Yerushalayim, combined with one's Hasmada, then all parts of one's life could be transformed. May we be Zochah.